We are recording, we are live. The Muddy Boots boys are back.
We're
Different
back.
scenario this time. Different scenario. We're live because, as you might have seen on
Bit of
the
a different show.
internet, yeah, it's a special guest week. It's pretty exciting. So, how you doing, boys? You all right?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Decent. Wilcock, Ian?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm not bad.
Well, before we get into guests, we're going to do our usual bit, but you might notice I've got Cena turning evil behind me. I need to explain why, because I'm turning evil. I'm turning heel on the District League.
Oh, mate.
Do you want to explain why, Ben? We're a bit annoyed with the District League, or don't mean to go for
I'll let you take this one.
They cancelled the big cup game that we hyped up so much last week.
Oh, okay, yeah, this is what you mean, yeah.
Cancelled.
Fuming.
Cancelled because of rain. Cancelled because of
That's
rain.
woke.
Have top of the
Doesn't
league
mean it.
bottled it, maybe.
Yeah,
But
fully.
did they see the previous episode of the Muddy Boots podcast and think
100%.
he's looking a bit good? Don't know about that. They're looking a bit confident. Not sure. Maybe. But I'm just going to say something. I'm going to look directly into the lens as I say this. Cancelling a game and putting it on Mother's Day the week after,
Oh.
you're a disgrace. You're an absolute disgrace.
Disgrace of the sport.
You're a disgrace. You're a disgrace.
True.
That's all I've got to say on the
Absolutely.
matter, to be honest. And you know what? It's killed this segment for us, to be honest, this week, because we've got no result to bring to you apart from postponed. So it doesn't even count as a 3-0 win to us. We've got no rate their pitch, couldn't even rate their pub. Gaffer, who we've got on in a minute, had no turbos, nothing. No kits,
Like
no dog crap counter, no what's on the speaker. Ridiculous. So it's really
we'll
gone.
make do. We'll make do. With what we've got, we'll make do.
Yeah, luckily we've got a pretty mint special guest coming on. But
Gaffer's on.
Gaffer's here. Gaffer's coming.
The building. Excited for this one.
I can't get my head around why it's been cancelled like that though. Can't get my head around it, boys. What are your thoughts?
Well, I couldn't play anyway, so
Helped you out, but
I'm
doesn't
fuming,
affect
to be
me
honest.
really. But
Yeah, it means I
go on.
can play in the cup, but I'm annoyed for you boys that want us to
Go on,
play.
Wilcock. You take this because it's really messed you about, hasn't it?
I don't get to play anymore. Mother's Day, the biggest day of the year for well, for some restaurants and that. I've got to work, so I get to miss the cup. That's not what I wanted, to be honest. But
And he's one of our key players as well. And I know he won't like me saying
absolutely.
it. He's important, him. He's the core. He's the core back there sometimes. And, it's like, I think it's like saying to Liverpool, all right, well, we'll play you, but only an international break when, none of your players are here and
Exactly.
you can only play like half your team. Absolutely ridiculous, to be honest. But
Top
here's
of the
a
table as
game.
well.
Yeah. We'll
I think
just have
they were
to.
ducking you, Tom. I think they were ducking you.
Now, I'm not sure about that, but I think they were a bit nervous, to be honest. Maybe a couple of muddy studs in the team that listened to last week's pod and
Oh, I think we've got to give
muddy
a big
studs.
shout out to the Muddy Studs.
We
The Muddy
do.
Studs.
Muddy studs. Are you gonna explain who the muddy studs are and what
So
the name is, what the name resembles?
the Muddy Studs is going to be the name of our fan base. We're the Muddy Boots, but it's the studs that keep us grounded in the
Alive,
ground,
yeah.
supported.
Oh,
You have
that's
no boots without the Muddy Studs. And we've
nice.
got
Yeah.
a loyal fan base at the minute. We're getting up there with views.
Exactly.
All right,
As well, we've got
yeah.
our TikTok, YouTube as well going.
TikTok,
Like,
YouTube, Instagram, all the usual sort of stuff. Boys are loving it and keeping and growing. So I
absolutely.
think guest time, I think we get him invited, get him in here, have a
Yeah,
chat.
man.
Got
Absolutely.
manager Ben Davis on today. 10 years as a player, 5 as a coach. He's going to give us lots to like talk about with him. He's seen the highs, the lows, Sunday League, even throwing in a bit of academy in there. So let's get him on, I reckon.
Yeah, let's get him on.
There he is, Benny Davis. How you doing, mate?
Not bad, how are you?
Yeah, decent, pal, decent. First of all, before we get into the grilling, just tell us a bit about yourself, history in football, and how you found yourself being a Sunday League coach in the end.
So started out playing football quite a young age. Played for quite a while. Played a couple of games at academy level for Matlock and Belpertown. Did my coaching badges with the FA. Then decided to start managing. More or less it really. Just decided to start a Sunday league team.
FS. And was
Suffered.
that an easy transition to get into straight away going into Sunday League, or was it just part of a long process? Said you were going for a long time. Like, was it an easy process, or has it been difficult so far?
It was difficult. I mean, from playing to being a manager, I mean, if you speak to anyone, it's always difficult to sort of hang the boots up and be in control of a team instead of just in control of your own sort of game.
Yeah.
But not too bad.
Do you sometimes, I suppose now with the managing and stuff and, seeing like the boys play and whatever, do you sometimes miss the old playing? Do you just want to, like, you might see a few chances get missed, you're just thinking, oh, I could have buried that. I want to get on, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there's always that aspect. I mean, I always do sometimes come home from, games and think, I could get back into it, I could play again. But it all boils down to just enjoying doing what I'm doing now, and I'm happy with what I'm doing, and I enjoy watching lads and trying to mold their game and mold this team.
Yeah, fair enough, mate. Right, we're going to start with a few questions for you then. We'll start light. Your favourite player of all time in football, just in general. Don't have to be a Sunday league. I mean,
Question.
yeah.
So I've got two. The obvious one's Ronaldo, Cristiano. That's the obvious one. Being a United fan, that's the obvious one. But a player that I've always watched and loved was Adel Taarabt.
Oh,
Oh, great shout.
shout.
Yeah.
Shout,
Just an
shout.
absolute baller.
Would you reckon, as a Sunday League manager though, put up with Taarabt's sort of antics in your team? Would you give him that freedom, do you reckon? Or would you be like, pack it in, Adele? Like, come on, mate.
I sort of think I'd do a little bit similar to what Neil Warnock did.
Yeah.
Anybody that gives it him in our half, serious telling off sort of thing. But
Yeah, because you got a few of them.
yeah, further up the pitch, I'd do what you want. Just
Yeah, fair play.
do what needs to be done, sort of thing.
Go then, Elliot. Your question then, mate.
Yeah. Okay. So I've got what is your best Sunday League moment as a manager watching the game? What would you say while watching has been your favourite moment?
Probably from this season, probably the win over Brim. I went into that still feeling a bit nervous. The team's still relatively new, everyone's still gelling together. Even though they're having, not the best season, we aren't either. So it was still going to be a bit hit and miss at the time. But, first goal goes in, second goes in, you start, nerves calming. And then, eventually winning the game, it's put a smile on everyone's face, and it's just been a brilliant moment.
That was a
Great
big
feeling.
win. It was a big win,
It was
that
a big
one.
win, that. I remember that one, yeah.
Back with me. You said about how you as a
Yeah.
player for around about 10 years or so, you said like through all the grassroots, like pretty much seen it all, like all levels really, like a bit of academy in there, a bit of Sunday League. How
Yeah.
would you, how did you find like the jump in levels almost like was the levels such a change? And especially now you're watching the football as well, would you say the level in general has gone up of football play, just general play between like young players and players coming through?
I think moving up from age bracket to age bracket is always going to be difficult. I mean, at 10-year-old, it's sort of trying to stop everyone from pack mentality of just chasing the ball,
Yeah.
and then jumping from under 10s to under 11s, under 11s to under 12s. There's a lot more tactics involved and positions and the mindsets of players and sort of things, and you can sort of tell who's ready for it and who isn't. So it's always difficult moving up from level to level. The only big difference from grassroots to academy, which it's probably always known, is just the sheer amount of just strictness from managers, coaches, and the other players, that they just demand the best of you every single week. But I suppose all of that's sort of common knowledge of what you'd expect from the different tiers and different ages of football in, grassroots to academy to semi-pro professionalism.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah. Talking about academy life, we heard at one point you was playing in the academy. What how different was that from Sunday League? Like what was that like to play for?
It was so the two teams that I played for, it was very very structured, as you have to do everything at an exact time and an exact level. And if it wasn't good enough, it'd be repetitive, repetitive, repetitive. For the same 3 weeks, you do the exact same thing until it's an art form and you can do it at a moment's notice. With Belper, they had a little bit of a mentality similar to Ajax. You had to be able to play multiple positions. You didn't come in as a left back and play left back. You come in as a left back and then you'd be taught to play centre back and CDM and so on and so forth. So it was difficult to move around the pitch and be put into a position where you had no idea how to play because you'd played Sunday League all the way at left back from being 10 to 16 and then thrown into being a centre mid or a centre forward, so on and so forth. So it was very difficult to come to grips with at times.
Yeah, fair. When you had all this playing stuff, and when you decided like you were going to take maybe a different approach to football going into the coaching, how like to say you've done your player stuff, and now you're thinking I do want to get into this coaching properly because you've done your coaching levels and stuff as you've said. How easily accessible was that to get into, would you say, like for like a young coach who wants to get involved and try and take on his own team? Like, was it easy to get on board with, or was it like a lot of money or time or sort of thing like that?
So the coaching part of it, I did through school and college. I was on a sports coaching course through college, and it just sort of fell into my lap. I did no research on it because at this point I was still playing academy, so I didn't really want to coach or manage. So it was sort of just one of those things that could be added to my CV, and amongst other things, just sort of fell into my lap. And I thought, oh yeah, I'll go do that. But from what I've seen and what we was told while at the coaching course, it's relatively inexpensive. It's cheap enough that most people could afford it. And it doesn't take too long to fully complete all the way up to level three, which is where I'm at. Obviously, then stepping into managerial and manager badges, it's a whole different story. I've looked into it and it's a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of hours. Yeah, it's difficult.
What pushed you from like from the coaching to go on to be a manager? Like, what pushed you to do that?
So I had a bad injury towards the back end of playing academy football, and basically the cartilage in my right knee is more or less non-existent. So I just suffer, well, struggle with a lot of running, a lot of cardio exercise. I suffer with it. So to stay in football after a big breakaway, it was sort of managing or coaching, and I eventually fell on starting my own grassroots Sunday League team.
Yeah, brilliant. On to the grassroots team. You're so heavily involved in the team you run in, all aspects of it. How have you found that, really taking the whole approach? Like big football clubs they have directors, they have managers, they have coaches, they have all these stuff. Whereas like with yours, it's a lot run through you, so you've got to be on all bases at all times. How are you finding that? And would you say it is rewarding, obviously, as well as challenging? And just like, what are them sort of challenges you find a lot of from day to day with it?
Suppose it takes a very strong-willed person. Right at the beginning, it's so difficult. Going through the league, the FA, getting your players together, getting somebody to deal with the money, somebody to be on paper as a chairman, etc. Trying to get all of that together and all the cogs in the right places is very, very challenging. But I suppose after the first couple of months of everything being set up and having your people in the right places, it's really easy. As you say, unfortunately for me, I had a lot of people, either fall out or leave for whatever reason. So other than the money side of things, I now do everything. I'm secretary, I'm manager, I'm coach, I'm chairman, I do everything. And it's not as difficult as you'd think. It's sort of a lot of phone calls and a lot of spreadsheets, a lot of forms, but it all can be done hour or two a night. And if you stay on top of it, it'll never really get on top of you. And it's quite easy after your initial setting up and getting your team established with players that you know are reliable and regular, coming back and playing sort of thing.
Yeah, fair
Right.
enough.
Yeah.
What would you say like your favorite part of being a Sunday League manager is?
It's tough because the social side of it's brilliant. Before this, I sort of kept myself to myself. I didn't really go out much. So the social side of it for me is a big chunk of it. I enjoy the company of everyone on the team. I talk to everyone, I talk to anyone. The getting out, the mental well-being of it all, getting out, doing a bit of exercise where I can, having a knockabout with lads in training. It's just a lot of social, a lot of mental, a lot of, mental health helps. It helps with all that. So that's where I enjoy it more than anything. The results to me at the minute don't mean a great deal. Obviously, there's been their ups and downs, but right now, that's what I'm enjoying about it all.
Absolutely. Yeah, following on from Tom's question there, have you got like a least favourite part of being a manager for the Sunday League team?
Players leaving.
Big one. Players leaving.
Players
Yeah.
leaving, it sort of feels like an abandonment type of thing,
Yeah.
especially if certain players have been for a while and just drop you at the first sign of trouble, so to speak. It's hard to see players leave, especially like I say, players that have been there a while. That's
Yeah.
tough.
I was
There's
going
like a bit of a
to jump. I was
community
just going
there.
to jump in, Elliot. Yeah,
Yeah.
before I know you got one more.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you mentioned on the mental health stuff and about how football, like I see football really as like a massive universal language, and I think it shaped, I think everyone can probably, like sat here, could probably say it shaped how you are today as like a person. Like it's just a universal language. You go make friends, I think it's build confidence sort of thing. Did you see coming into obviously a completely new team, you didn't know anybody, you'd set it all up yourself, like was that a massive challenge for you? But then when you've overcome it, is that like maybe one of the most rewarding things, just seeing players grow in confidence, like and in themselves as people, not just on the pitch?
Yeah, I suppose it helps that I'm not really an anxious person anyway. I'll sort of go out of my way to talk to new players and, get new players involved. But even if you're not anxious and you are quite outgoing, to start a new team up, I mean, like you say, from one of the first training sessions we ever had last season, I knew maybe two people. So for that many new faces and new people to come together, it was stressful but rewarding in terms of from back then to now, how well it's going.
Yeah, definitely.
And obviously, seeing the team grow, seeing the players come in, like say the players leaving, which does hurt, but the new players joining and obviously molding players, helping players, trying to keep up with that man management and helping out players even behind the scenes and outside of football, which I enjoy trying to help people and look after people. So I suppose football does really help me. We a lot of people's mental health and helping each other out and looking after each other.
Yeah, bro.
A bit more of a light-hearted one. We asked this on our introduction podcast episode, but if you could add a new rule to football, and if you or if you could take one away, what do you think that would be?
The rule
As
I'd
a
add,
manager's looking in, yeah.
is definitely size of shin pads.
Oh, there we
Okay,
go.
it has to be. I see players and it pains me, players with shin pads that are no bigger than your phone, and I'm like, that's
Holland.
you,
Yeah.
if
Ollie
you
Ellis top
catch,
culprit there,
oh yeah, if you
I
catch a bad tackle, it's game
think.
over for you, really.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Removing a rule. Are we talking just Sunday League or everything?
Anything. Yeah, go for anything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for anything.
It's not so much removing, but it's an adapting and all like an already rule. At least more than half of your body has to be offside to be called offside. If your toenail's offside or your kneecap, then I think it's a bit rough to call someone offside. If like a toe's offside, you're not going to get much of an advantage of
No, it's
your
not
elbow.
affecting play that much, is it?
No, exactly. Your elbow being offside's not affecting too much.
Would you say, see, I think with that, I think if it's not a part, obviously you can score with any part of your body, it goes in. I think if it's a part that's illegal anyway to score with, like your hand or
Yeah,
something,
I think that as well. It don't make sense that, doesn't it?
I think just like chill out. Like, cause
Yeah.
it's always you see a lot in like Premier League now. It's players being caught offside with, I don't know, like just by a shoulder. or something, or like their arm, or it's just
Shoulder to
the way
shoulder.
they're running. If you run a certain way, you're
Yeah.
off line sort of thing nowadays,
And
really.
it's stuffed.
On like linos, I think again a bit more of a light-hearted one, and I think you might like this one. How important do you think in Sunday League you pick a lino every week, don't you? How important do you think that is as a coach to get that lino pick right? Is that like one of your big decisions you're thinking about before you come? Like it could cost you a game end at day, couldn't it?
Trust me when I say, not a single person that turns up for a Sunday league game wants to run the
Yeah,
line.
yeah.
Not a single person. It'd be nice to pick someone that you could say, you're doing a good job, please run the line, and them go, yeah, that's fine, and take the flag. But 9 times out of 10, players out and out refuse. So it's tough. It's sort of, you have to pick who's willing to do it, whether they're great or poor at doing it. You sort of got to just pick whoever's willing at the time.
But it was like we've had weeks, haven't you, where there's been referees that are literally just other players from their team. You switched it half times and stuff. I know in a Sunday League game, I've been a ref for an half as well. It was the weirdest experience I've ever
Yeah.
had. It's just like the usual sort of Sunday League like sort of issues. Again, though, another light-hearted one. This one has come from the Muddy Studs. They're dying to know this one. They're dying to know. We know the gaffer's favorite post-match footy drink is a bit of a turbo.
Oh,
What is
yeah.
in a turbo? What? Just explain to us. Sit us down. The studs are all listening. Their ears are pricked up now.
Need to
What is
know.
this turbo phenomenon? What is this turbo?
First thing I will say to you is try one
Yeah.
because it is phenomenal. The first time I tried one, that is my now go-to drink anywhere I am, whether I'm in Manchester waiting for Man United, it doesn't matter. Turbo. So it is half a Smirnoff Ice or VK Blue or whatever VK they've got, and then half a Carling. And honestly, it fully takes the bitterness away from the Carling, and it is the best drink I've had from a
Tempting,
pub by a
because
long way.
that's the only thing that puts me off,
Doesn't
like
sound bad, you know. Yeah,
the bitterness of
doesn't
stuff
sound
like that
bad.
puts me off stuff like that. How much are we talking for them in mine as well, fair, when we're after a game?
Do you know what? I've got no idea.
Not fair.
I've got no Not matter. idea. It doesn't matter. Just tap the card.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
Just
it's what
whatever
it
you
is.
want.
Apple Pay, bang. Yeah, I'll
Yeah,
have two.
sweet. Yeah. With the mine as well, fair, we've added like the pub sponsor and stuff. Is that now a big part of where you want to take the team? Having a bit of time after the games all together, just a bit more team bonding. I had my little rant about the speaker leaving the changing room last week. And do you think like these sort of bondings and stuff are quite important for a Sunday League club? And because it's just a group of lads, really. Like this bonding can make a team better, if anything.
Yeah, I mean, this is it. This is why. And, if we go back through messages in the chat and messages, and every time I turn up to, games in the morning, I'm like, make an effort to come back. These are all your friends. We all need to be together after games and, have that little unwind time and, have a chat and a bit of a laugh. This is, like you say, bonding experiences and time together as a team. This is why the subs, went up so we could put money away and go and do things outside of football, go-karting, paintballing in the off season. But I think that's a massive part of improving a team's morale and getting everyone to play together well is time outside of football. A lot of teams that only train together and play together don't have the same synergy as other teams that do spend a lot of time together outside of, training and playing. So yeah, it is definitely a big part, and it does help a lot of teams, and I think it could help us a little bit more as well.
Yeah, real. Well, I think to be fair, Scott, my meeting's got a minute left, so I reckon we'll wrap it up there. I think that's everything.
No,
Everyone happy
perfect.
boys, yeah?
Yeah, that was
Brilliant.
wonderful.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing, Ed. Thanks for joining us,
Thank you,
mate,
Ben. Cheers.
on the podcast. We'll
Cheers,
get
Gaffer. Having me.
this up and out to the studs whenever we can. We're a bit busy at the minute. We have other, projects flying here, there and everywhere. Cup game this weekend for boys, so we'll get on it then. Cheers, Ben. Cheers, lads. Thank you.
Thank you for having
Thanks,
me.
mate. Amazing. Cheers,
Thanks,
boys.
guys.
Thanks,
In a bit.
studs.